Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight for the 10th of September. And this will be Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 68. So it's just been a joy and a privilege putting this together every month and sharing that with everybody. And I want to thank everybody that's been emailing me and stuff and asking questions about the wilderness of Zen and saying how much they have been enjoying this, and thank you very much for that. The wilderness of Zen was probably one of the most important wildernesses the children of Israel went through. You know, when they was at Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai, that's where God wanted to meet with them, and of course they rejected God. But the wilderness of Zen was the last wilderness that they went to before they just spun off and you know, finished their 40 years, because so far they've only been gone for about 2 years. And so because they did not do what God wanted them to do in the wilderness of Zen, they couldn't go left into the promised land. They went right into Moab, and 38 years they wandered in the wilderness until that generation died off. So growing up in Zen is a very, very important wilderness. Amen. Before I get into what I have tonight, I want to go ahead and just kind of share some thoughts from the last time that we got together and I shared, and that we must not allow our fleshly desires to rule our lives. I'm going to say that again. We must not allow our fleshly desires to rule our lives. If so, we will not be able to understand the things of God. People say, I don't understand why that person doesn't understand the gospel. Well, it's because they are allowing their fleshly desires to rule their thinking and their heart, and their fleshly desires is what prevents them from that understanding. Our flesh and our carnality add and work as a delusion to our spirit. Let me say that again. Our flesh and our carnality and our wrong thinking and all of that, that act as a delusion. In the 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 12, God himself sent to the people a delusion because they had no love for the truth. When it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you believe. What is very, very important matters. Do you have a desire and a love for the truth? If you have a love for the truth, then God will be able to get to you what he wants to know. But the people there in Thessalonica did not have a love for the truth. They had a love for themselves, and they had a love for unrighteousness. And so God gave them a spirit of delusion, and it was because of their fleshly, carnal life. Wow. Either our flesh or our spirit will rule our life. Let me say that again. It will be either our flesh or our spirit, as dealt with by God, will be in control of our life. And so if we do not allow God to work in our life and conform us into the character and the image of Jesus Christ, then our flesh will rule our life, and we will be out there, you know, there's hope, but, you know, the more we allow our flesh to control our life, the less chance we will have to walk in the things of God. And the last point is, to the degree of our submission and obedience to the Lord, so is the measure of our spiritual growth and development and inner peace. And I'm going to include that in there, and inner peace. So many people say, well, you know, they have no peace, and they're restless and all of these things, and they're anxious, and they can't go here, and they can't go there. They're fearful and all of that stuff. Well, that is all due to the lack of submission and obedience to God. Because the more we are submitted to God, the more we are obedient to God, then the more we will not worry about ourselves. We will say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's signs of spiritual growth. And the more we can put our trust and confidence and faith in God, the more inner peace we will have. God is not trying to make us strong in the outward. Paul said, oh, that I may be strengthened with might in the inward man. Many Christians today want to be, you know, build up outwardly and do all of these great works and all that good stuff. But that's not where God wants to work in our heart. He wants to work in that inward man. And the more God can work in that inward man, the more inner peace we will have. Amen?
Amen.
That was some 4 points that we looked at last time. And so now, Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 68, in Ezra 3:12, and this is a tremendous verse here. And what this was, this is the rebuilding of the second temple. This was the rebuilding of the second temple. And it said, many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men, so they were old men, mm-hmm. and they remembered the past. They have seen the first house, or the first temple. And when the foundation of this house was laid, this will be the second temple before their eyes, they wept aloud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So there were people crying, and there were people, you know, shouting for joy. But it was the old people, it was the older men that remembered the beauty of the first temple. The beauty of the second temple could not compare to the beauty of the first temple. So the old men cried, and the young men, they were very, very happy. It's a tremendous, tremendous story. And this kind of talks about first things first, the first temple and the second temple. So tonight, what I'd like to do, I'd like to look at first things first. In God, you must satisfy the first things first. You can't go on to step two and three unless you have established step one. So many Christians want to go ahead and jump in at step number five, and they haven't laid that foundation in their life, and then they wonder why they're not successful in God. Well, it's because they haven't laid that correct foundation first. First things first. Prevent failure by rededication and by a reconsecration again and again and again if necessary. Remember, in the wilderness of Zin, this is what God wanted the children of Israel to do, to come to another place of rededication, another place of reconsecration, a place of total submission and obedience to God. And if they did that, then they could have went to the left, and to the left they would have moved into the promised land, but they did not do that. We must always have a solid foundation of continual rededication and reconsecration built on Christ Jesus. Our life should be a continual form of rededication and reconsecration. And if you have to do that daily, so be it. But there must be a time of rededication or reconsecration in our life. If we do not have a proper foundation, to return to the basics, otherwise we will always, always be in trouble. Adhering to the basics always keeps us functionally sound and operationally focused. Let me say that again. Adhering to the basics, having that basic foundation, have our sins really forgiven. Having our sins really forgiven. Most Christians struggle with sins because they really don't believe their sin has been forgiven. And so we must come. That's one of the first things we must allow God to really convince us, really to bring us an understanding that our sins have been forgiven. And if we would sin again, He would forgive. That's one of those first things first. But adhering to the basics, always keeps us functionally sound and operationally focused. If we continue to build and build on a faulty foundation, we will lose a great deal. There is no shortcuts in God. There is no shortcut in laying that foundation. Certain issues and testing cannot be avoided. Let me say that again. Certain issues and testing cannot be avoided if there is to be spiritual gain and health. There are things that God has purposed and planned for your life that you can't get around if you're going to grow spiritually. There are things that God wants, and God, before you were born, God has laid these situations out of your life, and they can't be avoided. You will have to go through them in God if there's going to be spiritual gain and health in your life. We cannot leave out one quarter of our foundation and expect spiritual prosperity. There's a foundation that God has for all of us, and then there are works in our life that God has for each and every one of us that are different than each other, and we have to go through those. We have to conquer those areas in our lives. and there are no shortcuts to spiritual growth and development. No shortcuts to spiritual growth and development. God has planned and He is laying out our foundation for us to walk in that, in Him. And if we refuse to go through those things that God wants for our life, then we will never ever grow spiritually. There will be no spiritual growth and development in our life. Not too many Christians seem to be interested in the ABCs. More seem to be interested in the XYZs. Amen? But God wants us to fulfill the ABCs. You have to fulfill the ABCs, those basic fundamental things in God, before you can move on. Many times when someone is initiated into the kingdom of God, they are told that they need to be operating in the PQRs or whatever they are, you know, and they haven't laid that foundation. They haven't done those things that they needed to do to build on and to grow from. That is why there are so many problems in the church today. Let me say that again. That is why there are so many problems in the church today. Most Christians do not have a solid foundation of truth in their life. They don't read the Bible. They don't spend time with God. They don't do all of these basic things that they must do to be able to move in God. They haven't laid that foundation. They're out there trying to cast out demons and do all this other stuff, and they don't have a basic foundation, and they just don't do well, amen? First things first, ABCs, then the PQRs. The better foundation of the ABCs that we allow God to lay in our life, the better PQRs, the better, the more advanced things we'll be able to function in. If you build a faulty foundation, every floor that you build atop that foundation, if it's faulty, it's going to crumble someday. It's going to crumble. The better the foundation is laid, the better the foundation in our life is laid, the better Christian we will be and the better witness we will be, and the more that we'll be able to be used of God. Let us fulfill the basics before wanting to go on to something greater in the Lord. Even if God has called us or is leading us into a greater thing, let us make sure our foundation before we go on to this. Remember that there are basic obligations we have under God which holds priority to other obligations. Now let me let that sink in for a second, because this is very, very important. There are certain obligations, basic obligations, that we have to meet before we can go on to other obligations that God would have for us. Even those which God is laying for us. There are basic obligations that we must satisfy before we can move in those other things that God has for us. And if we don't lay that foundation correctly, then those things, the other things that God has for us, and He may even tell us, and we may even try to move in that, but we will not be able to because our foundation has not been laid correctly. Most Christians do not have a solid foundation of reading the Bible and understanding the Word of God. They don't. On an average, a survey that I saw, most Christians read the Bible less than 5 minutes a day. Can you believe that? Most Christians every day read the Bible less than 5 minutes a day. Now, this is God's Word. God is supposed to speak to us through His Word, but they spend less than 5 minutes a day. Wow. Most Christians do not spend time with God. They do not just sit there and just meditate on the goodness of God. They just don't sit there and allow God to speak to them. When we sit down and we're going to go ahead and pray, we sit there and we just start telling God what we want and all of these things and doing all of these things. And then we say amen and we get up and we walk out of there. But we just need to wait and just sit there. And if we ask God a question, He may answer us. We should not be in a hurry. But most Christians don't spend time in prayer. They don't spend time waiting before God. They don't spend time to hear from God. Wow. And they expect to be used of God, and they expect for Him to, give them the things of God. Well, it does not happen that way. the way that God works, and when we spend time with Him, He will spend time with us. Let me say that again. When we spend time with Him, He will spend time with us. And when He spends time with us, it's never time wasted. There is always some knowledge imparting, an impartation of things, and the spiritual growth and development will follow after that. This was necessary in the life of Moses. Even the will and leading of God had to be delayed in his case until the foundational work was completed. Now, Moses knew when, as a young boy, he was going to be delivered. Don't you know, think of Moses' life from that movie, from Sequel Legal Mills, you know, the Ten Commandments. No, that's not really what happened. Some of that was true, but most of that was embellished. But Moses knew that he was going to be the deliverer. And even God's will had to be delayed in Moses' life until the foundation in his life was correctly laid. After 40 years, Moses knew of his calling. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was raised in, you know, in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's life. But it took God 80 years, to lay the foundation in Moses' life so he could be used the last 40 years of his life. It took God 80 years to get Egypt out of him. And actually, when God finished with Moses, you know, and Moses really couldn't speak. He stammered and he stuttered. And that was the excuse that Moses gave. He said, "Well, I can't speak." He says, "Well, you have Aaron. Aaron, your brother, will speak." But God totally reduced Moses down, all of his strength and knowledge and all of that stuff. God removed that from him. Right. Moses was a shepherd, in the heights, in the mountains. Wow. After, at age 40, Moses knew of his calling. But the foundation work was not completed until he was 80 years old. It took God 80 years to build in Moses' life a godly foundation. And we want to go ahead and we think that we give our heart to the Lord and now God is going to give us all that we have. And no. It's going to take a while for God to work that godly foundation in us. But that must happen. We must have that godly foundation laid in us. When answering God's call, especially in the ministry, we must be built on a solid foundation and be sure that we are obeying Him in proper order. Now, if you want to make any notes when you're teaching, you need to go ahead and ask for that and start that, because I will tell you that is very, very important. When answering God's call, and all the people, God is calling me to this, and God is calling me to that. Well, if God is calling you to that, you better make sure that you have established a good foundation, because I will promise you, if you do not have a solid foundation in God, you will not be very successful in the call that God has in your life. The solider the foundation, the more complete the foundation that you have in your life, the better you'll be able to minister in the life of God. So, your ability to minister the life of God has nothing to do with God's power. That's not the issue. The issue is, have you laid a solid foundation in your life of which God can, can minister the life of God out from? And if not, then you will just be like everybody else. I know many women who insist upon moving in the leading of the spiritual and spiritual ministry when it disrupts and worsens a relationship with her husband. The universal defense which covers it all is, we must obey God rather than man. Then do it. Obey God. But do not obey God in the matters that you like, and allow the other areas to rest in the obedience. In obeying God, be sure of the order. Let's say that again. In obeying God, be sure of the order. Obedience to the basics must take precedence over obedience to other types of God's leading. First things first. Obedience to the basics in our life must take precedence over obedience to the other types of God's leading. The basics are found in the Bible. I cannot understand how some can fulfill spiritual ministries while their households are in great need due to lack of attention. I do not know how how one can skip the ABCs and move up to the PQRs without creating, you know, plenty of serious problems in their lives. Well, they cannot. I have seen this for years. The law is not the ministry, but the loss in these cases is the lack of godly character and godly integrity. And when I was putting this together, I was thinking of two ladies. One is named Ann Pia. And you just have to know these ladies. But in all of these cases, you know, they never really laid that basic fundamental relationship with the Lord in their life, and they were trying to do all of these spiritual things and do all of the spiritual stuff, and what they did, they just made a big mess of everything. They even started the church. And actually, Anne's big claim to fame was supposedly raising my niece from the dead. And she never died. But she wrote a book, how she raised this baby from the dead and all this stuff. And everybody believed it. She started a church. Everybody came, and they were running around having a good time. But when they would have communion, they would drink real blood. Yeah. So the ABCs, all of this stuff was built. All of this stuff came out, but it was not a spiritual foundation. They were out there trying to do the PQRs, but they did not have that spiritual foundation that was laid. And ministry must have that spiritual foundation, and it must be laid right. If this is your case, you will have to back down to the ABCs if you expect to resolve your personal problems. Always return to the basics. They always need fulfillment first. Pride and presumption will prevent us from returning and fulfilling the basics. Why we as Christians do not want to go ahead and say, okay, wait a minute, I got to back up and I got rededication, you know, recommitment. I got to make sure my foundation is there. And if that doesn't happen, it's because of pride and presumption. Presumption is more dangerous than sin is. Let me say that again. Presumption is more dangerous than sin is. Jesus died for our sins, but he didn't die for our presumption. Presumption is presuming to know right, but in reality we're going wrong. Presumption will really, really destroy a lot of Christians' life. And of course, well, pride. We've got to really, really be careful. We've got to really know that what we're doing is of God. And we've got to really know. And one way we will really know what we're doing in God is correct is when we have that, when we've laid that foundation. Then we'll be able to move out of that. Amen? At stake is what God has said and what he wants to do in our life. At stake, if we do not lay that foundation, and if we don't want to go back and rededication and make sure that foundation is laid, then at stake is what God has said and what he has done in our life. In John 4:1-3, Jesus says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself never baptized, not but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again unto Galilee." Jesus comes from his Father, and to do his will, we can see that in John 10:32 and 12:50. Thus, in making disciples and baptizing, Jesus was doing the will of the Father. That is what Jesus wanted, or that's what the Father wanted him to do. However, but another principle entered the picture, and it takes precedence over the present leading of God in the life of Jesus. The ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus were to be in a certain arrangement according to prophecy. So according to prophecy, there were certain things had to happen. The ABCs was established in prophecy, and they had to happen according to what was going on. Thus, Jesus had to back down from making disciples in order to fulfill something more basic. And that's what was laid in the Old Testament in the basics. Not until John was off the scene did Jesus come preaching. Not till John was off the scene did Jesus come preaching. And we see that in Mark 1 and 14. It says, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus, even though it was God's will for him to do all of these things, he had to wait. He had to wait until those first things that were first. And John had to go ahead and be moved out of the way so that Jesus could do what we wanted to do. But of course, John was supposed to stop baptizing. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. But he never did. John never did do that. He has to increase and I must decrease. But John kept on baptizing when he wasn't supposed to do that. God had to put John in a place where there was no water. And that was the prison. Amen? Mm-hmm. At age 12, another example, Jesus said, Luke 2:49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Is it not that I must be about my Father? And unfortunately, the Greek version of Luke 2:49 does not have the word business in there. The word business there was added, you know, to kind of make sense. But I like the way that Jesus said it originally. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Was ye not that I must be about my Father? Jesus was saying it was time for me at age 12 to look like my Father. Because that's the goal, right? For us to be conformed into the character and the image and the nature of Jesus Christ. But what he knew to be his Father's business had to be laid aside for 18 years while the basics were being fulfilled. At age 12, Jesus knew what he had to do and what he was supposed to do. But he had to wait 18 years. He waited 18 years until the foundation that he needed had to be laid in him. We too must lay aside things in our lives so that we can be about our Father. First things first, amen? Some party thoughts. Numbers 27:13 says, and when thou, Moses, had seen it, the promised land, thou all shall be gathered into thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Moses could only see and not enter the promised land because of 38 years ago he failed the basic matter of consecration at Kadesh. Moses failed in that basic consecration at Kadesh. Moses died and was buried by God without victory and conquest of the promised land. But now we do know that Moses did enter into the promised land because on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Moses and Elijah. So Moses did make it to the promised land, but he did not make it in the promised land in his earthly life. And of course, we know at Kadesh what happened as Moses spoke to the rock. I mean, he smoked the rock instead of spoke to the rock as God told him to do. Amen? Amen. 27:14 says, for ye rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Numbers 27:14. And that's why Moses never made it into the promised land. God always holds our standard and our feet to the fire with the ABCs. Amen? We've got to establish those ABCs in our life. And there must be a reconsecration and there must be a rededication to make sure that the ABCs are established in our lives. Do not fail at your Kadesh. That is the matter of personal consecration. There is, you know, we must not fail at that personal consecration. Failure in the ABCs means failure in the XYZs. Do not avoid a foundational walk with God. It must be a constant factor in our Christian life. Failure at the beginning of our walk with the Lord means failure at the end. Failure at the beginning, not laying a correct foundation. You know, most people who call themselves Christians are not saved. They're not saved because what they have done, they went down, they walked the aisle, and this guy said, "Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I have sinned," and they repeat. But the Bible says in John 1:9 that we have to confess with our mouth. There must be a personal confession with our mouth. So we can't repeat what some guy says. We must see what sin has wrought in our life. We must have an understanding of how evil sin is and how it's destroyed every relationship that we've entered into. And we must see our need for God. We cannot be saved by repeating someone's prayer. Even if we believe that prayer, there must be an understanding of what sin has done in our life, and that only Jesus can save us of that sin. So the beginning of our walk, if we fail in the beginning of our walk, then there's going to be only failure at the end of the walk. The ABCs are ever our walk with the Lord. First and always, those things first. Then and only then can God trust us with the PQRs and the XYZs. If we cannot lay a foundation of righteousness and a foundation of the basics and a foundation in our walk, then God will not use us. He will not trust us with the advanced things in God. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this time of teaching, Father. Lord, help us, Father, Lord God, to see that need, to have that rededication and that reconsecration, Father. Lord, let us always see and make sure, Father, Lord God, that we have those foundational principles in our life down, Father, Lord God. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. Then use us, Father, Lord, beyond our abilities, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. Take this word and, Father, Lord, just minister to our lives and our hearts and just help us, Father, Lord, God, to come to an understanding of you. Father, Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.